Ladies, thank you very much for giving of your time and your talents in the service of the Lord. Well, I'm grateful that the Bible says that we can know. Amen. The name of that song was I Know. And I've talked to a lot of people like you have over the years, knocked on people's doors and asked them if they knew. You know, kind of the standard question, do you know for sure if you were to die today, if you would go to heaven? And got a few over the years, or several. Oh yeah, I know. Absolutely, I know. But you know, most of the time you got, well, I hope so. Well, I hope so. I'm a church member. I got baptized one time. By the way, baptism doesn't save you. Amen. Baptism is the first step of obedience. It aligns us with God and aligns us with our church. It shows that we got saved. Amen. We don't get saved through baptism. Baptism is something we do after we get saved. But I've heard a lot of people say, well, I got baptized down the street here. You know, South Side down there. Or, you know, over here, Rocky Creek over here. I got baptized over there when I was a kid. Yeah, I think I'm okay. No, that don't do it. Amen. You have to have a meeting. You ever heard of the come to Jesus meeting? You got to have the actual come to Jesus meeting. You have to have a confrontation with God. Amen. And confront your sin and confront His holiness. And realize that He is the holy, righteous, unmovable, self-existing, eternal God. And you are nothing but a hopeless, worthless sinner. That's what you have to come to. But when you do that, boy, the glory that follows. Praise the Lord for His goodness. Thank God for His grace and His mercy and His blessings. All right, we're going to look in the book of Jeremiah this morning. If you would please turn to the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to be in chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. And I'm just going to read one verse this morning. One verse. When you find your place in Jeremiah chapter 2 and find verse 32, would you please stand and honor and in reverence of God's holy word. This isn't for me or anyone else. This is simply we are standing and saying that we love God and we love His word. And we want to respect Him and we want to respect it. If you cannot stand, that's okay. If you're unable to, that's all right. You can still honor the Lord, but we like to stand. Jeremiah chapter 2, I'm going to read verse number 32. And then we'll be looking at several different verses in this chapter and in other places as well. But Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32. I want to read this. The Bible says this. If everyone's there, Jeremiah 2 verse 32. The Bible says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without number. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, God, for Your precious, inspired, and preserved Word that we have in our hands today. What a miracle the King James Bible is, God. I'm thankful that we can read Your Word, and more importantly, that we can hear and learn from it. Holy Spirit, I ask and I pray that You would do Your work today and minister the Word of God into our hearts that we might be changed forevermore. Now, God, I don't know who besides me that needs this thought or this message today, but God, I pray, as You said and as You promised, that Your Word would not return unto You void, but would accomplish that purpose for which You sent it. God, I pray that You would use Your Word. I pray, God, that You'd use me as an instrument, as a vessel, as a mouthpiece for You. God, that You would speak to the hearts of Your people. Encourage us, instruct us, if it needs to be, convict us, that Your perfect work and Your perfect will might be done today in each of us. And I will give You the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord, for You alone are worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Here in the book of Jeremiah, we know that the judgment of God is at hand on His people. Judgment comes in the Bible throughout history and in our own lives because of sin. Because of rebellion, because of disobedience, because of idolatry, so many things. The list goes on and on. Judgment comes. And judgment is coming down the line for the children of Israel. Because they have not obeyed God. They've walked away from God's statutes, from His commandments. They have been a rebellious and disobedient people. They have become idolatrous toward other false gods and false religions, even after all the things that God has done for them. But God, in His love and His mercy for His people, gives them another chance, just like He has always done and He will always do, because the Bible says that I am God, I change not. God does not change. There's no shadow of turning with God. He's not one way one day and a different way in the next day. God is always the same, and God shows mercy. And as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, even in God's judgment, He is merciful. And Ezra wrote, I believe it was in chapter 5, Ezra wrote that He hath not punished us according as our iniquities deserve. And I'm thankful for that. Even though God does judge, He doesn't judge us like we deserve. What a blessing that is. But we see this here in Jeremiah in chapter number 2. And what we read in verse 32 is just a question that God gives through Jeremiah to the children of Israel. And He says, and this makes sense to Israel, maybe even more than it does to us. But He says, can a maid forget her ornaments? Now a maid would be a young virgin, a young woman who may be espoused to a man or is at the age of marriage and espousal. And I don't know about any of you ladies, but I know for men and especially in my case, when we're attracted to someone or we are maybe in a relationship, a young man and a young woman, usually we'll dress nice, we'll smell nice, we'll do all those things to attract that person, to be favorable to that person. And so we'll dress up, we'll put on our nice clothes, we'll put on jewelry for ladies, put on makeup, guys, well maybe just even brush our teeth would be a good start or something like that, clean our fingernails out from the day's work and make ourselves presentable. And the Bible says here, can a maid forget her ornaments? That young woman who loves a young man and she's dressed up to the nines and she's decked out, if she's in that place where she is in such a desire to have a life with this young man, is she going to forget to put on her lipstick? Is she going to forget to put on her jewelry? No, she's not going to do that because that's important to her. Amen. It's important that she wins the love and the confidence of this young man. Then he goes on, God goes on even further and He says, how about a bride? We're even past the stage of, we're talking or we're courting or dating or whatever you might say. Now we are a spouse. Now we're engaged. We're going to be married. And now is the day of the wedding. Or a bride, her attire. What bride is going to forget her wedding dress? I mean, you spend hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars on a dress. You're not going to leave it wadded up in the corner back in the apartment, right? Oh, well, I'm here at the church. Seems like I'm forgetting something. What could it be? Oh, my dress I spent months and months picking out. Spent hundreds or thousands of dollars on. Is a bride going to forget her attire? Absolutely not. But God says, even though those things are true about clothing and about ornaments, He says, yet my people have forgotten me. And He said, it's been a long time. Days without end. My people have been living their lives not even thinking about me. after all that I have done for them. You know, I do not know the mind of God. I cannot understand the mind of God. Now, I do know through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, and through my own experiences, I can see how God operates to a degree, right? We can sort of understand. We know that God's banner over us is love. We just talked about that He judges us less than we're worthy and guilty of. So we know sort of how God operates, but I don't know the mind of God. But for Him to know and to stand and see and watch all of these things develop. Now, He's God. He knew it was going to happen. But it bothers Him. I believe we see this here in His language. Yet my people have forgotten me. It's very personal. He doesn't say that Israel has forgotten their God. He says, my people, the ones that I have brought out of captivity, the ones that I blessed, the ones that I gave houses to that they did not build, all of those things, my people, I called them out. God called them out. He made a people that was not a people before. He made them a people, made them His people, made them His very own. And He said, my people, not the heathen who maybe once heard about God. No, His people. He said, my people have forgotten me. Days without end. This kind of piggybacks on the study we had for Sunday school. As I kind of studied that this week, this thought came to me, and I hope it's a help to us. What I want to talk about this morning is, how could we forget God? How could we forget God? Now, I don't think that necessarily means that we forget that God exists, or, you know, it just goes out of our mind that there is a God. Not that at all. It's not that we forget that there is a God, or that we even forget who God is. I don't think it's a mental thing that we're talking about here. That we get forgetful and we forget. I don't think it's that at all. No, we'll talk about that. But I think forgetting God is the most dangerous thing that can happen to a blessed people. We become unthankful. We become unholy. And we become forgetful. You know, we do in our lives, we experience tremendous trials and troubles. Some of us going through things at this very moment that are troubling and hard. But at the same time, we have to admit that we've had some incredible blessings.
Amen.
Incredible blessings. We've seen healings. We've seen children and loved ones come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've seen just God open doors and deliver and give answers and provide over and over. When we get together as a family with all of our kids and grandkids, most times when we're together, something usually comes up about some of the hard times we've had over the years. I mean, there were times when all we had to eat, and I'm not poor mouthing, I'm not doing that at all, because God was good. All we had to eat was maybe potatoes and maybe some deer that I had killed or we had killed. I tried selling vacuums for a while, we about all starved to death that year. And I could not bring myself to sell a $3,000 vacuum to a family that I knew was having a hard time putting groceries on the table. I'm not that type of salesman. But there were times it was pretty lean. But we have talked about it time and time again. Those were some of the best days of our family. Because it was simple and we were relying on God. We knew that we needed Him, and we called out to God for everything. God, we've got this bill coming. I remember. We were early in our family, and the kids were little, and we had the blessing to be around some great preaching and great Bible preachers. And I remember one preacher said, if you're going to pray and ask God for something, be specific. And I remember many times when we had bills coming due. Electric bill is due. Rent is due. And I remember praying many times, God, the electric bill is $257.36. And I'm not going to say that it always happened this way, but there were times when there were checks in the mail already that we weren't expecting, that were just about that much money. God can do those things. And when we're fully relying on God, and we know that everything that we have or need comes from Him, that puts you in a different place. The problem is that we have been so blessed here in America and as God's people in general, it's easy for us to forget that every need and everything that we have comes from Him. And we take things for granted very, very often. And I'm not preaching at you, I'm just preaching in general. It's a problem in our society today. But it's I think the very most dangerous thing that can happen to us is to forget God. As I said before, here in our text, judgment is on its way. But God again is merciful. He sends a prophet. He sends Jeremiah to preach to the people and let them know your sin has separated you from your God. Judgment is coming, but He has given you a chance. He's given you a chance. And He preaches to them. Let's look in verse number 4. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and become vain? Here Jeremiah is preaching. He said, think back. What have we ever been able to find in God that makes Him not worthy of our praise, not worthy of our worship? God said, I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that you are important to me. And God is willing to forgive if they will repent. God is willing to forgive if they will repent. So what does it mean to forget God? I talked about that in just for a moment a little bit ago. I don't think it means that we forget that God exists. It's not that they had forgotten that. But in verse number 13 of our chapter, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, God says this, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. First of all, they've forsaken God in the fact that they forgot that He was their all in all. That He was the fountain of living waters. That He was the source of all of their blessing and all of their hope. They had forgotten that God was. But not only that, they had not only forgotten that God was the source, they had gone and looked for other sources. They'd hewed out their own, he says. They'd made their own gods and formed their own religions. And he says they are broken cisterns that can hold no water. There's no hope in those things. They'd forsaken God. They had forgotten God. And God says that my people, again, my people, they have forsaken me. Not to forsake. We know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when He's hanging on the cross, what did He say? My God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? To forsake someone means to turn your back on them and walk away. In the hour of their greatest need, many times. So God says, my people have forsaken me. I talked to my servants. I talked to my people and I worked with my people and I blessed my people. And what have they done? They've turned their back on me and they've walked away from the one who has blessed them, from the one who has delivered them. They've forsaken me. But I believe this idea of this thought or this, what we see here of forgetting God, doesn't necessarily mean to walk away. But I think especially for us in our day, as we're all here this morning, right? We love God. We want to be obedient to God. We want to serve God. But you know, we can come to church and we can do the service, we can do the things that Christians do. But we can do those things without ever considering God. You can get dressed in the morning, on Sunday morning, and get all your stuff together and go out to the car and get in the car and drive to church. I'm not saying you do this. But I think a lot of Christians do. We get up in the morning, we get dressed, we do whatever we got to do, we get our breakfast done, we get dressed, we go get in the car, we drive to church, we sit in church service. And I think a lot of people do all of that without ever even thinking about God. It becomes routine, it becomes just what we do because we're supposed to. But I believe forgetting God means we don't leave, we stay, but we give no thought to God's desire, God's will, God's leading. And we make decisions without ever consulting God about them. When things are good, it's easy for us to not need to cry out to God. When things are good, it's easy for us not to go to God and ask Him for His advice or His thoughts or His leadership or wisdom on things. Now, some might find it silly that we would pray and ask God, what should we eat for supper tonight? Or what should I wear today? And, there's things like that that we don't really need to talk to God about, but I would say it wouldn't be wrong to do that. Wouldn't be wrong to do that. By the way, it's a good practice. It's a good practice. Talk to God about the little things. Keep that conversation going. Keep that line of communication open. God, I want everything that I do today to honor You. Now, is our lives going to be changed if I wore a red tie rather than a blue tie today? Maybe not. But if we get in an attitude of just giving thought to it, just give a thought to it, would this be pleasing to God? Would this magnify the Lord? Give thought to it. Because what happens is we don't even give thought to how God would think or how God would feel about the thing that I'm about to do, even though it's a good thing. Even though we're getting ready to go to church, we need to have God in our thoughts and think about how God would think about what I'm about to do. And what had happened was God's people had quit doing those things. They just were living their life. They were still God's people. They were still blessed of God. They were still receiving the blessings of God, even in the midst of their sin. But they had stopped thinking about God. They'd stopped thinking about Him. Just got 3 points here. How do I know if I've forgotten God? And these are just thoughts. How do I know if I've forgotten God? Well, number one, it's a clue that I've maybe forgotten God if I stop seeking God after He gives me stuff. Let's look in Jeremiah chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, and the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of the desert and of pits, through a land of drought, and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. We might be on the verge of forgetting God if we stop seeking Him after He gives us stuff. They seem to have forgotten what it was like in bondage. They seem to have forgotten what it was like to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, death was hovering over them. Forget what it was to have no food, no water, and to have to cry out to God for the very simple necessities of life. Once they got into the land that God had promised them, and they were reaping harvests that they had not sown, they were living in houses that they had not built, they were taking grapes and making wine from vines that they had not tended to. And what happened? Oh, we don't need God anymore. Look at all this that we've got. We don't need to cry out to God for anything. We've got everything that we need. If we stop seeking God because life is comfortable, then we're in a mess. We've got a problem. You remember when I spoke about some of the difficult times that we had? And I'm sure that some of you have gone through those times as well. Do you remember what it was like when there wasn't much? And how we sought God. And then when God blessed us, what did we do? I'm sure we were thankful. But as time goes on and things kind of begin to come together and sort themselves out, we kind of have the tendency to forget that all things come from God. And we need Him. And that's what happened here to the children of Israel. They forgot God, and they defiled His land. They didn't keep the Sabbaths. They didn't, they quit doing the things that they were supposed to do, and they defiled the land. And I thought about this. I remember when I got saved, the day that I got saved, October 16th, 1994. We were sitting in the third pew back from the front. And I was probably sitting on the end, I don't know. I usually sat on the end, and then Betsy and all the kids down the line. I'm sorry, at that time we only had one, so she probably had the baby. But I remember, I had heard the preaching of God's Word, I had been witness to and all of those things. But that morning, the Holy Spirit conviction of God fell on me. And I saw my sin and my wickedness and saw that I was on my way to hell. And I had no hope except the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, there was nothing else that I wanted and nothing else that I needed except Him. Amen. Everything else faded away. My wife and my baby faded away. Not that they weren't important, not that I didn't love them, but I didn't need anything else at that moment except God. Amen. Except the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else mattered in that moment. And I called on Him. And I believed on Him. And I was born again that day. Do you remember that in your life? Do you remember the time when God's conviction came upon you and you realized that you were lost and you needed to be saved? Do you remember that? And how desperate you were to get to God. By the way, if that has not happened to you, if you can't go back to a time and place in your mind where you are under Holy Ghost conviction and you realize that you're a sinner and you called upon God for salvation, if you can't remember that ever happening, please check up on that. Please make sure. Please make sure. If you can't remember that. Now, you might not know the day or the time or who was preaching or some of the details, but if you can't go back in your mind and remember an instance of falling before God under conviction of your sinfulness and your lost condition, you may need to be saved. I'm not saying you're not. But if you've ever confronted God about your lost condition, I think you would remember it. But if you remember how deeply you needed God, and then maybe you go down through life and things start working out and things start getting better, and you have the tendency to stop praying, stop fasting, to stop seeking God on a daily basis or many times during the day, I think we ought to be more desperate for God even the more He blesses us. And you would think that that would be the case for not only Christians, but you would think that would be the case for Israel. God blessed them time and time again. You think that would make them, you think it would make us just want God more and seek Him more and more, but our tendency is that we don't. So I think we ought to be careful. When God gives us stuff, when God blesses us and things are going well, let's not forget God. Let's not forget to keep God in the forefront of our mind. Number two, we might be on the way of forgetting God if we change our allegiance. Let's look at verse number 8 in our text here, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 8. The priest said not, "Where is the Lord?" And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied to Baal and walked after things that do not profit. The priests, the pastors, the prophets, all changed their allegiance. They started following after false gods. And I think that's a danger today, even in our world and in our time. We ought not change allegiance. Well, what do you mean? Well, do we do the things that we do because God says so? Do we do the things that we do because we called out to God about it and got an answer from Him, or we just do the things we do because it's popular? Or because we know it'll make people happy? We ought to obey God rather than men. We see that a number of times through the Bible. I'm going to read a passage from the book of Psalms, Psalm 75. I'm going to read a few verses here out of Psalm 75. And you don't have to turn there. Psalm 75, beginning in verse number 4, the Bible says this: I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and unto the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and He poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. So what's the end of worldly leadership? What's the end of those who rise in the ranks because of men? They're going to drink the dregs. Men don't promote us. Well, we might think they do, but promotion is of God. Promotion is not of men. Amen. And if we do things to be promoted by men, then we have changed our allegiance and we're very close to forgetting God. I don't think that's the case to anyone here, but it is a danger. We do what we do because God said so. Amen. Not because it's going to make me popular, or not because other people think it's the way I should do things. We do what we do because God said so. Then last, we must not forget that there's purpose in the pain. Purpose in the pain. I want to look at verse here in Jeremiah in our text, chapter 2. I want to look at verse 29 and 30. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 29 and 30. The Bible says, Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. Wow. God says here, or we see here, that God had even dealt and maybe brought hardships upon the babies, upon the children. And even in that, God's people would not turn back to God. They received no correction. You didn't even do your job of training and correcting your children. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. He said, even when I touch your children, even when I bring hardships into the lives of your children. Now, that's a difficult thing. We've got four kids. I say kids, they're all grown and have children of their own. They've all got spouses. Now, it's hard for us to think that God would touch our children or bring a hardship into our children's lives to get our attention. But God is not unrighteous in that. God is not unrighteous in that. Let's look back to the book of Leviticus, if you would please. And I'm wrapping up. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. There's several verses I want to read here, so I'll read some quickly, then I'll move on. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go up." Right. God says, if you will obey me, if you will serve me, I'll do all of these things. And he did. Amen. He did. He blessed them. Yes. He made them a people that was not a people. And he did what he said he would do. If you will, then I will, God says. And he did. And they did. They did follow God. They did obey God for a time. Let's look at verse 14. "But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgment, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." That happened also. They sowed fields, their crops came up, and the enemy came and took all their food. That happened. He said, "If you walk contrary to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins." They did not see and did not understand the purpose of the things that were happening to them. When they had disobeyed and walked away from God, they couldn't understand what was going on. And instead of seeing that God was trying to teach them something, they saw it as God is not fair. God doesn't love us anymore. And I don't know if any of you or any of us have ever gotten to the place when bad things are happening. When we think that God is not faithful. And we think that God is not fair and that God is not loving. I don't know if you've ever got there or not. But God even touched their children here and brought hardships upon their children. Why? Because they would not hear and they would not listen. They had not seen the purpose of the pain. Now, does every bad thing that goes on in my life, in your life, is it the judgment of God? No, it's not that at all. Good people, faithful people, God-fearing and God-loving people have bad things happen to them. Is God in charge and in control of all things? Yes, He is. He has all power. Could God change your circumstances? Yes, He could. But what we don't see is the other side of the page. There is purpose. Is there a purpose in a 12-year-old little girl laying on a bed dying? Did God make her sick? No. But God allowed it. Does that make God unloving or unfair? No. Now the world would see it that way. And the family, that might even cross their mind. But there is always purpose. God always has purpose for what's going on. There is a purpose for little Peyton going through what she's going through. I don't know what it is. There's a purpose for what your children and your grandchildren are going through. The struggles that they're facing, there's purpose. It might be that they need to be saved and God's trying to show them something. Or it might be that God's trying to teach them something that they are the only person down the line that God could use for a specific thing. Someone one day might need an answer. And that answer might come out of your struggle. Out of your hardship. It's hard for us to see the purpose in the pain. Why do bad things happen? Why is life so hard? You know, there's nothing wrong with asking God why if we're willing to accept the answer. If we're truly wanting to know what God, I don't understand this. I'd kind of like to know. I'm willing to go through it. I'm willing to face it. God, I'd like to know what it is. God usually doesn't tell us right away. But I have seen things years later. And I've had the blessing to be able to say, that's what that was. That's what that was. Maybe someone that I hadn't met and wouldn't have known years later ran into someone and I've preached messages that had no idea what God put a message on my heart, had no idea what was going on. That happened in Mississippi years ago. We'd come back on a furlough and I was preaching at a church in Mississippi and I preached the message. Didn't know that there's a young man about to give it all up. About to give it all up. And God put a message on my heart. Had no idea. I knew that some people had come to the altar and were dealing with God about things. And He told me years later, He said, you don't know. You don't know what that did. I've been able to see those things. Thank God for it. If there is a purpose in the pain, and there is, we must not get bitter through it. But stay humble and patient. Then I got these thoughts and I'm done. Are you willing to have God break you so he can heal someone else later? It's a question we ought to ask ourselves, a question I have to ask myself. I've been going through some stuff this last year. My family and I have been going through some very difficult things the last year and a half or 2 years. And everybody does. Don't get me wrong. Everybody does. But are we willing to have God break us so that he can heal someone else later? Are we willing to walk through hell now so that God can save someone from hell later? It may seem like you're walking through it when your family's going through deep, dark struggles. But if we'll be patient and humble through those things, God can and God will, somewhere on the other side of it, use it for blessing and for good. We must not forget God for our sakes, for those that come after us. We must not forget God. God is true. God is faithful. God is holy. No matter the circumstances of our lives, God is faithful. And he is true. And he always will be. Amen. Father, thank you, God, for your word today, for your help. God, I pray that you would speak to all of us, Lord, and use this time and use this word for your glory and for our good. We will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.